is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 648. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined telephonically, stereophonically, and instaphonically with my co-host, Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
I knew she was there. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. Just stay with us.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
I gotta get it. Just on the 24th.
It is Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. On the show today, we have our very, 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 very dear friends from the Vortex and talking about the Muttcracker. Sweet! And of course, Nicole and I are going to have lively discussions of Christmas and Broadway and the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Athens, and Timbuktu. Don't go away. Well, yeah, how was that for timing?
That was like you planned that.
It was. I didn't, though. How do you like that? Do you recognize that song?
How do you
song?
Like that?
Well, I'll tell you. What?
I don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. It's from the Broadway show of A Christmas Story, the musical. It's called Counting Down to Christmas.
I've seen that, but I still doesn't ring a bell. So
yeah.
Hello. How about that?
Hello. So, do you have any idea why I'd be playing Christmas songs?
Because we're counting down to Christmas.
We're counting down to Christmas. Damn it. yeah. So Christmas is just a few days away, but, I don't celebrate. So that's about all we'll be talking about it here.
Well, I do.
Okay, Merry Christmas to you then. Are you doing the Feast of the 12 Fishes?
Just a low key with us in the house, not the big, you know, everybody over like we normally do.
So the answer is yes.
We're not in that type of a world of doing that. So yes.
Yeah, cool.
A pared down version of the Feast of the Seven Fishes. Correct.
Good. Well, I upped it to 12 fishes, so I'd like you to consider that.
Okay.
Well, that's very, very, very good. I am one of the few people that have never seen A Christmas Story, the movie, or anything.
Oh, you didn't even watch it when it was, they did the live version with, what was it, Matthew Broderick, right?
I don't know, it's a movie.
Anna Geister?
I don't know.
Yes, I know it was a movie that they made into a musical, but then they also did the live broadcast, Annie and stuff, of the musical.
No, does not interest me.
It's one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah. I've never been able to watch the whole thing. So there you go. Well, let's talk about what's going on in the world right now, especially in the world of theater and Broadway. Well, it's the world of everything. Everything is closing. It's just amazing what's happening in New York and in the regions and in D.C., everywhere.
Except what I find so funny is that Music Man started previews. I'm like, is Hugh Jackman and Sutton the only ones up right now? Because they just started.
Well, actually, so, I mean, it's a huge number. One-third of the Broadway shows that are currently supposed to be open or running right now are not.
Through Christmas. And the Rockettes totally canceled the rest of the season.
Yep.
And now even the New York City Ballet and the Nutcracker are part of the whole not happening.
Everything, you know, and a whole bunch of companies have closed or closed their doors. But it's interesting. So we're in a new world. I mean, and there's an article in the New York Times written by Michael Paulson that says when the show doesn't go on, Broadway is rattled by COVID cancellations. And talking about how the world of theater was always the show must go on no matter what. You know, you perform with a broken ankle, you perform with COVID-19, you perform with everything, and that just that the whole industry has changed.
I feel like the show must go on. That went out the window in March of 2020.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. And it went out the window in more ways than one, not only from COVID-19, but it's also, we're talking about having an industry that is a little bit more based on humanity versus getting that show done.
Yes.
So I think it's interesting just to see what's going on and what we're doing. These stoppages on Broadway and elsewhere are just, it affects so many people. And when you think about a Broadway show, so, you know, we just at Ground Floor Theater, we just closed our final show for the season, Unexpected Joy, and we had to cancel our show because we had a COVID-19 positivity, and we canceled a show and we all tested and we came back the next day. But you know, we work on we have no understudies, no swings. So when you talk about Broadway shows, first of all, think about how exhausted all swings must be right now, no matter what show they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that they're going on every single night in different tracks as people get COVID and they're going out. But, you know, so Broadway, you have swings, you have understudies, you have all these people. So in order for a Broadway show to close, they've got to be in a situation where they don't have enough people to go on. So that's not just one COVID.
No, it's not just one. I should say there was one cancellation this week that was non-COVID related and similar to the incident of Back to the Future in London, which was company and they had food poisoning.
Right. Well, and then, of course, there was, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
But Patti LuPone went out and entertained the audience. I mean, talk about a special little moment there.
Sure. And a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, oh my God, what's what is the the David Byrne show? What is it? I just lost it.
Oh my gosh. American Utopia.
American Utopia shut down for a non-COVID related illness, they said. They never said it, but it had to be David Byrne because you can't go on without him.
You can't really go on without David Byrne.
Yep.
But I was kind of like, what's up with all these Broadway and performing casts? Because I'm like, how did England and Broadway all get food poisoning? That is not good.
No, no. What I do is I just don't eat. So I do think it's interesting that a third have closed. We're trying very hard not to shut down again. The Broadway League is saying that they're not going to shut down, but I don't know. Some people are saying, you know, in January, they're looking at a possible shutdown. Some shows, this I found interesting, Tom Stoppard's new play, Leopoldstadt, was canceled entirely.
Yeah, entirely.
They just canceled the whole thing.
Well, that one was in Canada?
Toronto, yeah. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Canada has way different protocols than we do.
Right. And as a matter of fact, they also changed their capacity limits in Ontario. They're back down to 50%. So of theaters, venues that could have 1,000 or more, they can only have 50% capacity. So as of now, Broadway has not lowered the capacity. It's still full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that interesting. And Alvin Ailey canceled. Your good friends, the NBA and the NHL, canceled games.
Okay, can we just stop for today? I always say how football and theater are related, and you guys all laugh at me. And today in the Broadway briefing was a whole section on the NFL, and I felt justified in my statement today.
Nobody's ever laughed at you. And certainly not
like,
all of us. If anybody, it was just me.
No, you're not the only one. But I laughed so hard that I'm like, is there really an NFL section in the Broadway briefing today? Yes. Yes, there is.
Did you happen to see Saturday Night Live this last Saturday?
I saw bits and pieces of it on the YouTubes and the videos, but I did not sit and watch the whole thing. But yeah,
I guess
cracked up at the news.
You what? I'm sorry?
I cracked up at them, at Tina Fey coming in and doing the news from their chair, and the three audience members were Paul Rudd and Tom Hanks, and I think it was...
I have to say it was very odd. So watching it in real time and knowing it's live and then nobody was there. So indeed, there were only there was one cast member. There was Paul Rudd, and then of course there was not
Tom
Steve
Hanks.
Martin, Tom Hanks, and Tina Fey, and there were two musicians, a pianist, our keyboard player, and a saxophone, which made for very interesting music, I have to tell you.
Interesting.
But it was really odd, and it didn't feel good to me to watch.
I just watched bits and clips. But then I did see the Tina Fey performing with Love Style, Freestyle Love Supreme.
I don't think that was on the Saturday Night Live show, but...
No, but she went later on. She was there earlier. I was like, she's everywhere right now, that Tina Fey. She's popping over performing and then going over and doing SNL. And I was like, you go.
There you go. You go, Tina Fey. But that was...
Speaking of Lin-Manuel, his father was in Austin and bought Lin-Manuel an armadillo present for under the tree. And I think that Lin-Manuel Miranda getting something from Austin under his tree is spectacular.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you feel that way.
I just had to say that. That gives me warm fuzzies.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. So Lin-Manuel deserves many gifts. Back to the closings. The other thing that closed was Trevor the Musical, which we talked about a few weeks ago. It was off Broadway, and they closed because of COVID. And then they said, yeah, no, we'll just stay closed. And they did.
Isn't that what Jagged Little Pill just did, too?
Jagged Little Pill did the same thing. Now, mm-hmm. So not complicating it, but adding to that is the fact that they weren't making money. Mm-hmm. So COVID notwithstanding, they may have closed anyway. But not only are you getting closings because of that, but people aren't going to the theater.
No. What was the Broadway gross down this week? Like 26% or something?
It was way down, but it's not just Broadway. It's here as well. So I've been talking to other people that run theaters, mm-hmm. and everybody's having a hard time getting people to see. With the exception of Street Corner Arts... and their show.
Extending their show.
Extended by a month. Of course, they only hold 35 seats, so it's easier for them to sell out. But quite frankly, in our theater that holds 100 and some odd seats, we were mostly getting 35 to 40 person audiences. People aren't anxious to go out, and then now that Omicron has reared its ugly head and we're looking towards our third huge spike, people are getting going back inside, I think.
I think so. Well, that's more of the virtual. And we said it wasn't going anywhere. We said both things weren't going anywhere, the virus or the virtual aspect. So, I mean, we have those options now. Playbill has a wonderful article on all the virtual offerings for the holidays so people don't feel like they're left out.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of virtual stuff going on, but I'll tell you, mm-hmm. I for one, have gotten a little bit burned out on virtual, but I'm glad it's there.
Yes, well, I just did discover, I think it's the new Victory Garden Theater that's doing it. I'm going to have to look. It's streaming through January 2nd, but Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas is one of my favorite specials, and they made it a stage play. And they're streaming it, and I'm so
Who's Emmett Otter?
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas was a Jim Henson kind of puppetry Christmas special that was on HBO, I think, like 20, 30 years ago, and it's just adorable. I love it. And they made it into this little stage play and added some musicals, and they're streaming. I think it's New Victory Garden Theater. But it's streaming through January 2nd. I guess if we Googled the Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas play.
There you go. Mr. and Mrs. Otter must be so proud of Emmett.
Oh, Lisa, it's so adorable. If you can ever have a chance to watch it, I highly suggest at least one number.
This is something I guess you've seen in real life.
I have only seen the movie, but yes.
Oh, there's a movie. Okay. Have not heard of it. I have been watching really bad Christmas rom-coms.
There's been a lot of good ones. Did you see Reba McEntire? Because that one sucked me in. And I didn't realize the Christmas song she sang was a Barbra Streisand special.
She did a rom-com?
Like, really? Yes, she did. She did one.
So who did she fall in love with?
John Schneider. They were a country duo that weren't singing together, but came together to sing for their daughter and found.
Oh, so you're just talking about a Christmas special, not a rom-com, not a storyline.
Yeah, it's a Christmas rom-com. It was a movie on Lifetime.
Lifetime. I don't watch many Lifetime things.
I think it was Lifetime. Could have been Hallmark. I don't know. There's 500 channels with Christmas movies
right now.
True. Everybody's making them.
Well, let's circle back to theatrical adjacent, if anything else. I was able to see on my first night off a few nights ago a little movie called West Side Story. Have you seen it yet?
How did one like it? No, I have not.
Well, I went in really wanting to like it.
I know. And that doesn't sound good that you just said that.
No, I was fooling you. It was amazing.
Oh, okay. You did fool me.
It was totally amazing and worth it just to see Rita Moreno and Ariana DeBose. Those two performances.
Those are the two that I really want to see, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but and I think they did such a good job with so many different things. First of all, I had no idea how they were going to handle the Rita Moreno characters, who is taking over for Doc, and they did that in such a great way. And you know, so oh my God, Valentina, the character's name is Valentina, and she had married Doc, and Doc died, so she was running
That's
the drugstore
right.
now. And so there was this very big disconnect, because the drugstore is where the Jets hang out, and she's Latina, so she has connections to both sides. Very interesting. The rape scene with Anita I just don't like the scene at all, but they handled it in an amazing way. Chino was really done very, very well in this production. I don't know. I don't have a lot of bad things to say about it. The two leads, I don't remember the names, took some hits in the media, but I don't see why. I enjoyed them both.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was,
But the core... Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No. Go ahead. I want to hear. Keep going.
Choreography was amazing. And as you and I talked about when we looked at the trailers, it seemed very standard, very Jerome Robbins. And indeed it was. It was re-choreographed, but it was as an homage to Jerome Robbins. So it was in that style. And it had that same uplifting feel that Jerome Robbins gave it with advanced cinematography. It was just truly... amazing. The scene at the gym, the dance at the gym, just incredible. I Want to Be in America, just incredible. They did do the film version, which is the boys against the girls, which wasn't in the stage version. And I think,
I love it.
I don't know. I know they changed the placement in the movie and I think it's in the same placement as the movie, not the play. But here's where I get mad.
I have to be honest. I haven't watched the original movie in a long time, or have seen the original play in a long time.
No.
Remember all that.
West Side Story was the first musical I ever saw in Houston, Texas.
Was it really?
At the Houston Music Theater.
I thought
in
it was the Fiddler.
Fiddler's the first Broadway show I ever saw.
Oh, okay. I love it. Those are two really great.
I know. I feel very fortunate to have those. Anyway,
Fiddler on the Roof, the movie has been on a lot lately, and
I know.
I get sucked in every time.
Me too. And I did
that
not.
That Hava scene. Oh,
the Hava scene is heartbreaking. I just, I cry. And that's actually a really good Christmas film to see, I think. It's got all those, it's got all those moments that, that make you long for family and things like that.
For family. I was like, it's the family, the theme, the holiday. I think just holidays in general, no matter what denomination or what you celebrate, it's family.
It's funny when the movie
and
A Fiddler,
friends, you know?
Yep, true. When the movie A Fiddler first came out, I did not like it. Or I thought I did not like it because it was not the stage play. And I had seen the stage play on Broadway. And how dare they make a movie of it? And who the heck is this Topol person? How does he, where does he get off? Who is Leonard Fry? I don't know these people. And so in rewatching it, not all that long ago, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was going, what the heck was I thinking? This movie is amazing. And it's... And Topol is amazing, although I hear he was not the most pleasant person in the world.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think you and I have heard he's not pleasant. I just do love it. It's playing in Houston in March, and I'm actually excited about seeing it.
It is. Well, you know, I went up to New York to see the...
this version, yes.
Yes, this version. And this has got the weird beginning and ending where it starts in present time. And I have to tell you, I could live without it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to someone about that the other day. They really liked the change of it. And I'm like, I haven't seen it, so I might be indifferent. I just love the piece so much.
Well, it's interesting. I like it at the beginning, but the bookend doesn't make sense. Doing it at the end didn't make sense to me.
So, we'll have to revisit this conversation in March
after you see it.
That'd be great.
Do you know any of the casting in Houston?
I do, but you'd have to give me a second to tell you. I can pull it up.
It's not Danny Burstein, I tell you that.
No, it's not. And
but I tell you what, I do love this version, and they have a much more modern view of the song Matchmaker, which a lot of people when it first came out in New York gave a hard time. Yeah, it's much more empowering, if you will, and it's not Matchmaker is not the uplifting, beautiful little romp that it was in its original. It's got a much darker tone to it, and it took a little bit of heat. But I loved it. I thought it added a lot more to that.
Ezekiel Lazaroff is playing Tevye.
Ezekiel Laser Wolf?
Lazarov, L-A-Z-A-R-O-F-R-O-V.
I think it would be quite ironic.
If it was Laser Wolf, right?
Yes.
Goldie is played by Matei Uzal, and I hope I'm saying people's names totally correctly.
You know who you
Andrew
should speak
Hendrick
to?
Hendrick is Laser Wolf.
Okay, but if you speak to the press representatives, they can help you with those pronunciations.
I know. I have to get on that and make sure I get it. But, yep.
Nicole, because she is the press representative for that.
I wasn't prepared to check my names first.
I know.
For a loop. Look at me pulling it out.
I did like that. So I did throw you for a loop, and that is a spoiler
April,
or a teaser.
That's
a teaser for the second half of the show where we talk about A Strange Loop. But we're not going to talk about it yet.
No, and Fiddler is April. I forgot that Hamilton's February and March, so... April is when the Fiddler starts.
Wonderful.
So I'll tell you in April, we can revisit the Fiddler.
We will. And you mentioned it earlier, but I want to talk about it again here. Music Man started performances yesterday or the day before. They're still in previews.
The 20th.
Did you happen to see the
clips of them all dancing online? Yes. Like the 500 billion.
Yeah, no.
Yes, I can't get enough.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that one. But did you see the clip of Hugh Jackman's entrance applause?
Oh, no, but I'm sure it was like 25 minutes.
It was forever. And
out.
I'll tell you, I am not.
It drives you nuts.
Yeah, I don't like entrance applause. I don't like it. And if you do it, you don't need to give a standing ovation for the entrance applause.
So normally it drives me nuts too. If it's a one person show, like when he was doing Hugh Jackman on Broadway, totally get it. That's why we're here. We're here for you. So let's take that moment.
Well, yeah, I think
although
that's a little different.
That's different. Although I will say in this specific event for Music Man, with the world that we've been in, not having theater, then finally opening and things closing, and for them to actually be there, I probably would just be hooting and hollering in general. And then to have Hugh Jackman part of that, I'd probably hoot and holler a little more.
Yeah, I'm
but
not. I did.
Again, it's a special circumstance. It's, you know.
True that. So so they went, they show the entrance applause, which of course is at the end
what
of
Sutton
the.
Get?
Pardon me?
Did Sutton get an applause like that? I mean,
well, I don't know. She wouldn't have gotten the amount that he got, but then they play just a little bit of a dance break of Shapoopy. And the tempo seems really slow to me, but I just throw that out there.
Shapoopy did seem slow. I will tell you, I've watched a few dancing numbers. The choreography looks really spectacular. And I didn't realize I knew the cast of kids in this show is big, but holy bananas, this is a lot of children in this show.
There are. All right. Well,
I think there's more children than orphans in Annie. And that's a lot of children in a show.
Maybe so. Well, we have to take a little break. We're going to listen to, I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I think you'll be able to figure it out when I play it. And then we're going to come back and have our first interview. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, cheep, cheep. Talk a lot, pick a little more, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little.
Howdy, y'all. This is Dale Watson.
I gotta go.
I'm in the bathroom. Somebody needs to use it. Howdy, y'all. This is Dale Watson, singer, songwriter, and thespian. And you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
We are back. You're listening to.
That just made me giggle.
I knew it would, and I realized I did not. You probably didn't hear the whole thing because for some I didn't. I'm just learning how to operate this board.
That's okay. It made me giggle.
That was Dale Watson stuck in the bathroom. We love Dale. We miss Dale. He's not around so much anymore.
No, he's not. I was just talking about him the other day, and ironically.
Irony can be very ironic.
Well, we were talking about Hadestown and him and Ava and him in the movie, The Yellow Rose.
There you go. Well, one guest we have every year is the Muttcracker.
What a fun guest.
There you go. That's what I wanted. Darren Peterson and Melissa Vogt, you and I spoke to them. And I've never seen it. I'm going to try to get by to see it this year.
Well, what's the macaw's name again? It's so good.
Marilyn Macaw, isn't it?
Marilyn Macaw.
There it is. Well, let's go to our interview with Melissa and Darren, and we will come back after.
Sweet. Nicole, did I ever tell you that I played Toto in The Wizard of Oz for 6 months?
I almost feel like I knew that, but I didn't. But I like exploring this whole thing again. I even had
lines. Would you like to hear it? Because I still remember
I
what it is. Here it is.
that is a Tony winning award performance, Lisa Sheps.
Yeah, and people know that Toto was a mutt.
Yes.
And I think if he were around today, he would be in the show over the annual show at the Vortex called the Muttcracker.
Sweet.
And we have here in the Zoom room, Melissa Vogt, the producing artistic director. I don't remember. I keep forgetting.
Nope,
managing director.
Managing director.
of the Vortex and the director of this piece. And we have the creator of the piece and longtime guest on this show, as is Melissa, Darren Peterson. Welcome back, Darren.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having us.
We have one of the performers, Lizzie Neiman, who I don't know has been, I don't think you've been on this show. And
nope,
I wish
I'm brand new.
I wish we could show the video on this because she's just very enthusiastically waving.
She's waving and smiling and telling all of our listeners, I'm new and I'm here.
Yahoo!
So Darren, tell folks about Muttcracker. Sweet!
Sweet! So we've got four dogs this year, a Scarlet Macaw performing. It's based on the Nutcracker ballet And, you know, we have a Fritz older brother that ruins something for Clara, and Clara gets mad and has a dream. And man, Clara has an amazingly vivid imagination that makes me, her uncle, do a lot of really weird, fun things, including playing accordion on the unicycle while juggling.
Wow. So that's great.
I'm surprised you didn't ask Lisa. She's outside doing that every day.
It's her daily routine. She does that while brushing her teeth.
True that. And Lizzie, what do you play in this piece?
Oh, I'm the one who's making Darren do all the ridiculous things.
Oh.
I'm the little girl with the big imagination.
Well, that's cool. Is this fun for you? You're Did I hear that you're new to town?
Mm-hmm. I sure am.
Awesome.
And everybody at the Vortex was really amazing and welcoming. And I get to start off being here in Austin with this amazing show. It is so much fun. Everybody is having fun all the time. And there are puppies.
Well, of course, this is an annual event that's really looked forward to at the Vortex every year. And Melissa, you have directed this for the past several years, right?
That's right. Gosh, I'm trying to think. It's like my third or fourth year directing the show. I've also been in the show. I'm deeply connected to this show. I love it. When I first saw it, it blew me away. Like Darren's talents and skills and just the ever-changing variety of different acts that come through with this particular production every year. We've got some amazing talent that's joining us on stage this year. Musicians and singers and dancers. And oh my gosh, it's just so much fun.
Well, it's a kind of a circus atmosphere, and it changes year to year, does it not?
It does. It does. It really depends on who's cast in the show or what guest artists are coming in. I take the script and I give it some little tweaks, and I throw in people's personalities and their individual talents. And then we, you know, play around in the rehearsal room and discover other things. So, yeah, it's definitely a chameleon of a script. You're never going to see the same show twice. Maybe not even twice in the same run.
Do you have to tweak the script for the personalities of the animals also?
You know, sometimes you do. And we do have a new puppy this year. Dragonfly is making her stage debut. Right now she's 18 weeks old. So this is going to be her first performance.
And we should say that, Darren, these are all rescue animals that you bring into these shows, correct?
Right. Yes. And you can find some amazing rescue dogs out there. And I finally got a puppy. This is my first puppy in 25 years. So I've been having a lot of fun with her. And yeah, the other dogs I got, you know, quite a bit older. And yeah, it's been interesting having a puppy these days. So we'll see what Dragonfly does at 18 weeks. Yes. I took a video of her on all four paws on the kitchen table. She's like, why is there no food up here? And like, I got my camera out, and she didn't know she was doing anything wrong, and she was posing for the pictures. So I posted that on my Instagram with the tag, like something about you know, my business motto: your dogs can act just like mine.
Well, she is destined to be a star. And tell us about the macaw. And the macaw has been in the show in previous years, have?
Oh, man. Lauren McCall. Yeah, she's, I guess she must be like 23 years old now. And
in her prime.
Right. Yeah. They live a lot longer. Yeah, she's not halfway done if she, you know, doesn't bite me again. Just kidding. Okay, I'll put up with anything from that bird. Yeah, she talks, she sings, she counts. She gets stuck outside of Doglandia because of her teaching Dragonfly to do some puppy-like behaviors that Dragonfly will then exhibit during the show. Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
But, I can guarantee you that whatever behaviors Dragonfly exhibits, it will be puppy-like.
And it will steal the show. Somewhere between Lauren McCaw and the Dragonfly new puppy, the show will be stolen by them.
Lizzie, do you have a favorite part of the show?
Is it jumping on what we just said too much to say when Dragonfly comes out? either that or I get to, Clara Marie is a very bossy little girl. She's not necessarily the best role model for little kids, but she is very fun to watch because it's her dream and so anything goes. So bossing Darren around and telling him, forcing him to do increasingly more impossible tasks, that might be my favorite.
It's a lot of fun. And Melissa, this is good for all ages, is it not?
It is good for all ages. You know, if that's you've great. Got your baby, your toddler, maybe you're worried that they might start crying. You know, we're very friendly to all ages of children up to, you know, grandma and grandpa. Bring grandma and grandpa and come great. To the show.
And this is being done inside?
It is. It is inside on the Eloise stage.
And what are the what are the COVID policies in place for this show?
So everybody has to wear a mask when in the theater. You can bring drinks inside. We're doing like airplane protocol. So you take your mask down, do a sip, and then put your mask back up. No.
Okay. And vaccinations?
We do not have a vaccination policy.
Okay. Awesome. Well, when does this happen and where can folks get more information?
We open on Saturday, December 18th, and we run through January the 2nd. And you can find more information at www.vortexrep.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming
you
on the show.
You made our Christmas complete because we got back the Mudcracker.
Sweet! And Lizzie, you'll have to come back on. Your energy is infectious.
Lizzie. Thank you for having me, even though I'm so
She's
new.
She's amazing. Yes.
Awesome. Goodbye.
Thank you all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. See you at the Mudcracker.
Happy holidays. It's a doggy dog Christmas. A lot of treats to complete on the
We are back. You're Whatever listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and...
Nicole.
Oh, yeah,
Did you just play Snoop Dogg? Is that what I heard out? Because I was like, do I really hear Lisa playing Snoop Dogg?
I did. We played Snoop Dogg, Doggy Dog Christmas. You know, every year when we do Mutt Cracker, I always play that dog version of the Nutcracker Squeak, and I just could not do it again this year.
So you went with Snoop. I think they've used Snoop's music in a musical before, too.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. So this was...
So we can... If they haven't, I'm sure it'll happen. So,
yeah. This was called Doggy Dog Christmas and is talking all about food, which, you know, I happen to like food.
I kind of love food.
Yep, me too. So we may have mentioned it last week, but where you and I get a lot of our news, which is the Broadway Briefing, was bought by... this big conglomerate that owns, amongst other things, Broadway HD and other stuff, Broadway.com, I think. But anyway, they have their show person of the year. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. And I kind of found the whole thing fascinating and kind of really awesome.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. So the show person of the year for 2021 is Senator Chuck Schumer, who
did a lot for the arts. He did. You can't argue that.
And he, along with, and you have to give him a little bit of credit, our senator,
John Cornyn,
came up with the Save Our Stages Act. Which ended up being the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant, of which Ground Floor Theater was a recipient, and many other theaters here in the Austin area were able to help. But Chuck Schumer was at the heart of this, and he was very vocal
and a big cheerleader, a proponent.
Well, that's not the word I was trying to come up with. Was a proponent, but he recognized that theater was an important part of the New York City economy and further mm-hmm. an important part of the world economy and the United States economy. So,
and that's what I was just about to say, by Schumer and Cornyn doing this, it just showed how important arts are to all of us.
Yep.
Yep. And it's an integral part of who we all are as humans.
True. And my favorite producer, Jordan Roth, who's the president of the Jujamson Theaters Group, wrote a bunch of stuff about Chuck Schumer, but I'm going to read one paragraph. She said, quote, "As the scope of the shutdown's devastation started to become clear, the senator realized that New York would never return without Broadway, and that Broadway would never return without major help. So he set about the arduous task of securing that help, and from a federal government that had never meaningfully supported our industry. In the process, he widened the lens to include not just Broadway and Broadway touring, but also live venues across the country, as well as music festivals, event promoters, talent agencies, and production service companies. In other words, much of the live theater event ecosystem of the United States." And that is so true.
Very.
Yeah, and so I've always liked Chuck Schumer, and I will just continue to like him.
Well, there you go.
So in a related note, the website cityandstate.com, which is really basically a New York-based website, but this in an opinion piece by Russell Granite, he said, "Now is the time to push for arts in schools." And he's saying a lot of stuff that we've talked about a lot here. But again, I don't think you and I can say enough how important education in the arts is in general.
So important, just in general, for being good pillars of society and getting out there and like just existing. It's important.
Yeah. And so where this article did not say anything new or different that I did not know before, it just sort of reinforced what I already know. And I think it's important that other people should know, because oftentimes when money needs to be, when services and programs need to be cut because of financial reasons, it's the arts that go first. And they have always been on the, as this says in this article, the periphery of education. Nice to have, but not essential. And I think that's just short-sighted and narrow-minded.
I agree.
So, what was I going to say? The other thing that this article talks about that we have talked about, that what the arts in education does, a strong education arts, it strengthens and enhances cognitive preparedness. It catalyzes the power of the individuals to challenge and change and think and not necessarily accept the status quo, which is maybe why the one side of the political aisle doesn't want them to have it. It exposes people to various cultures that you know, I grew up in a very homogenous way and I did not see other cultures other than my own.
Oh, really?
I know. Not until I moved
even
to New York. No, I was in Memorial.
Well, I guess, you know what? I know, but I, Houston is just such a multicultural city, but I don't think it was as multicultural in the 70s as it flourished to be.
It was, but it's more so now as it's grown.
Oh, it really is now. But, I love it.
But if you live in the equivalent in Austin would be Westlake. I lived in this bubble of Memorial, and I never really got out of it.
You didn't really get out of it.
Well, not in a meaningful way. I mean, my theater experiences were all outside of that, and that was a little bit more diverse, but most of the time I just lived in this bubble. And
I did think of you recently because Don Swayze was on an episode the other day, and I'm like, it's Lisa's buddy.
Who?
The Swayzes.
Oh, Donald Swayze was on something?
Yeah, he was on, I think it was at NCIS or something. I was flipping through TV and I stopped and watched it because he was on.
I didn't know that Donnie was my age and we hung out quite a bit.
That's what I said. I go, Lisa hung out. This is the Swayze Lisa hung out with.
I did not realize he was still in the business.
Apparently.
Apparently
he
is.
We learn.
But folks, let me just make some ideas for you as we wind out the end of 2021 and we start thinking about giving and thinking towards the future and doing some end of year giving. I think arts and specifically education in the arts would be a very good issue to support as we round out 2021. I do think that the political pendulum is going to shift in 2022. So that's all the more reason for us to make those supportive kind of things that aren't necessarily going to come from government sources. Although I must say that in the past year, the rescue funds and the things that were out there to keep at least venues going were very, very helpful.
I think it would be most excellent. I like what you just said.
So there you go. Then, and you can take it from me. I'm going to hop off my soapbox. I will say, if it needs saying, that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily that of the board of directors or the staff of Co-op. They're simply my opinion. So there.
There.
So I want to zip back to COVID for just a little second. I saw, and I think this was in the briefing, but the... this is from The Stage, which is a website in the or newspaper in the UK. The title of the article is "Theater Staff Asked to Continue Working with COVID Symptoms -BECTU." So that piqued my interest right away because people were being asked to, even if you're symptomatic, to work. Which, when I read this article, it's not quite clear it's as cut and dry as that, but indeed it was. But they kept talking about BECTU, but never said what BECTU is. And it was driving me a little crazy, because as an article, you would think they would at least say what that organization was. I had an idea in reading in the context, but I wasn't sure. Do you know what BECTU is?
No.
It's the union that covers, I forgot what B stands for, entertainment, something in theater union. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it either. Yeah. This is a new one.
Yeah. So I just wanted to like throw that out there.
I wish you could see my face as I'm like searching through my Rolodex in my brain.
Well, I don't have my keyboard connected to my computer right now. It's acting as a tablet, but I would if you look up BECTU, it's there on the right side of the page of what the initialism stands for.
Well, broadcasting, entertainment,
yeah.
Communications and theater unit.
There you go. I knew you'd come
union.
Up with it. Union.
This is why you have we have the fact check reporting department in our show. We're hard hitting here.
So Strange Loop, which we talked about a little while ago, it won the Pulitzer and it's coming to Broadway. It's playing currently in Washington, D.C. And this is the very meta play we talked about last week about a young man writing a musical while doing a terrible job, working in a terrible job. And it's a story of a young man writing a musical while working in a terrible job. So it's going to open in the spring. They don't know. It's going to be at the Lyceum Theater. They don't know when, but they do think it's going to be before the eligibility deadlines for the Tony Awards, which is in late April. So that's an idea.
Interesting.
Yeah. I really want to see this play. I saw.
Yeah, it does sound interesting.
Yeah, and there were videos on it on the YouTubes. It looked really, really great when it, because I believe it had started playing just prior to the shutdown.
I was I think you are correct.
Yeah, off Broadway here in New York. Here in New York City. There in New York City. I wish it were here in New York City.
I was about to say here in New York City.
Yep. So that is a strange loop. I'm looking forward to that opening and having a relatively long run on Broadway, but not too long because I'd like to do it.
Oh, yeah, you better tell them to hurry it up for you.
That's what I'm saying. And then Skeleton Crew, which was going to be opening relatively soon. This is the Ruben Santiago Hudson led play with Felicia Rashad, Shantae Adams, Joshua Boone, Brandon J. Dearden, and Adelessa Okasalumi. I'm sure I did not pronounce that. They've postponed it. It is going to now begin performances on December 27th. And the opening night will be December 19th. It was originally scheduled for a week sooner than all of that. They don't cite a reason, but I'm guessing Omicron might be an idea. Dun, 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 dun.
By the way, Omicron sounds like a transformer, and I want to be like, Omicron!
It does.
Doesn't it sound like a transformer or something? It's like, I can't not say Omicron.
No, well, and there you do. You said it. I wish I had some sound effects for you, but I don't.
I know. It does need a sound. That's what we need, a Foley artist on call.
We do. Why don't we just jump right now to Today in Theater History?
Today in theater history, Liesl tells what happened.
Today in theater history, I'm going to tell you what happened. In 1858, I remember that year. It was 100 years before I was born. It's the birthday of Giacomo Puccini.
Oh, Giacomo Puccini. Really, Puccini was in the 80s? Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So, Puccini's...
I forget we're in the 2000s.
We are. Puccini's opera, Madame Butterfly, had a Broadway appearance as M. Butterfly, starring one John Lithgow, Once Upon a Time. And it also was on Jeopardy.
Did you work on that?
No, I had a friend.
It was and you didn't know. That's right. That's
She was dancing in the Tony's awards ceremony. And Madame Butterfly had an appearance on Jeopardy yesterday.
Oh, and I didn't watch it yesterday. There we have Jeopardy on at a very odd time during the day.
4 o'clock.
I either forget to record it or watch it. I know, it's odd. It's not conducive to my schedule, Jeopardy. Right.
Well, we're going to jump from 1858 to 1962 when I was 4 years old. Alvin Ailey is a performer in Clarence Morris's Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright. And this was from... a Peter Flubman's novel called A Place Without Twilight. And it was directed by Joshua Logan. I did not know that Alvin Ailey, I know him as a dancer and a leader of a dance company. I never think of him as like a performer in a show.
Right. That's excellent.
Yep. 1964, Eugene O'Neill's Huey premieres on Broadway at the Royal Theater with Jason Robards. Jose Quintero directed it. Eugene O'Neill was one of my favorite playwrights growing up.
Was he really?
Yep. Yeah, I did a production of Long Day's Journey to Night a long time ago, and that just sort of cemented it. Andrew Lippa was born on this day.
Aww.
He wrote The Big Fish, Adam's Family, John and Jen, and The Wild Party. Which Wild Party? The Andrew Lippa Wild Party. Yep. He was born in 1964. He's younger than I am. And in 1986, I remember when the show opened, Jackie Mason, who I had never heard of.
Jackie Mason, wow.
He revived his career with a Broadway one-person show called The World According to Me. It ran for 367 performances at the Brooks Atkinson.
Wow.
And that was, and then he had several more after that. I had not heard of him before that. And if you don't know who Jackie Mason is/was, I'm assuming he's not around anymore. He was a Borscht Belt comedian, did a lot of work in the Catskills.
He did. Very Dirty Dancing of him.
Very. In 2002 marks the death anniversary of Virginia McKnight Binger.
Who's that?
Well,
why do I feel like I'm going to know who it is? Because she had a stage name.
She lived in Wayzata, Minnesota. No, she did not have a stage name.
That's, oh, wow.
I'll give you a hint. She was a multimillionaire, and she co-owned the Jujamson Theater Group, of which the Virginia Theater is one.
Oh.
And the Virginia...
You know what? Keep going.
No, that's it. Keep going.
It just hit me. Jackie Mason passed away earlier this year.
Oh, that's right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Virginia Theater...
It just had a ding.
The Virginia Theater, because everything comes back to me, used to be named the Anta Theater, which is where O Brother played.
Ew! There with Papa Pope.
And so I just have to mention this. Ruth Wallace passed away in 2007. She's a songwriter and a musician whose songs inspired the Off-Broadway Review. I don't even know if I can say this. Beeps the Musical. and Beeps would refer to a slang name for the a part of a woman's anatomy that starts with B. And rhymes with tube. Oh, I'm cracking myself up.
You know what? You just need to write Beep the Musical.
There you go. I'm wondering if you were missing anything this Christmas show.
I am. You didn't play one little ditty, but I think you were waiting till the end. Did you know why?
I'm sorry, what were you saying? Nicole?
Yes.
Are you there? I'm trying.
I'm
what were you saying about it? Something?
Christmas.
What was I? What song did I forget to play?
The 12 Days of Christmas, because she loves me.
Well, that's what you're hearing in the background. And that's it for this week's show.
What a fun show it was.
It was. Everybody have a Merry Christmas. It's tomorrow. No, day after tomorrow.
No.
I don't know when it is.
It would be Christmas Eve is on Friday. Christmas Day is on Saturday.
There you go. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your seven fishes.
I will.
And everybody else, we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Au revoir. These are the people we envy and the people that we hate. Thank you. Please call again, dear.